I'm Margot Politis. Welcome to Study English, IELTS Preparation. Today we're going to look at how English users indicate negative meanings. One of the ways we can do that is with the word not. And we're going to meet a glass artist talk about his craft. The ancient art of hot glass blowing dates back 5,000 years to the Egyptians. Listen to Mark Douglas, the artist, talking about glass blowing today.
I think people are fascinated about glass in a sense, you know, I know my grandmother had a beautiful glass vase on her dressing table or whatever. It was always, don't break the vase, you know, it's this precious thing. The techniques I use for glass making aren't that dissimilar than what has been around for like centuries.
When English speakers want to give something a negative meaning, they use negative words such as not, she's not coming, no, there's no music, nobody, nobody saw the crash, nothing, there's nothing to eat, nowhere, he's nowhere to be seen. All these sentences have only one negative. When constructing negative sentences, English only allows one negative. Using two negative words, such as nobody and not, together in a sentence can give the opposite meaning to the one intended. So, for example, I did not see nobody. With this double negative, this literally means I saw somebody. However, watch Mark Douglas again and see how he uses a double negative to give a positive meaning.
The techniques I use for glass making aren't that dissimilar than what has been around for like centuries.
Mark says the techniques aren't dissimilar. Aren't is a contraction of are and not. So he uses the negative word form not. Dissimilar is made up of the negative prefix dis and the word similar. So he uses not and dis, both negatives, in one phrase. These cancel each other's effect, giving a positive meaning. Look what happens when we leave them both out. The techniques are not dissimilar. The techniques are similar. By saying the techniques are not dissimilar, he is drawing attention to the fact that this may be surprising and not what you might expect. He's saying that it's surprising that the techniques used today are similar to ancient techniques. This idea is reinforced by Mark using the negative word unchanged when talking about the techniques. Listen to how he uses unchanged.
So the basic techniques of gathering, blowing glass, putting a bubble into some glass, shaping it, pretty much have been unchanged for a long time.
Mark says the basic techniques of blowing glass have been unchanged for a long time. He does not say the techniques are the same. He chooses a negative to draw attention or emphasize that something has not changed. Let's try another example. The student was not unhappy with her test score. Cancel out the negatives, not and un, and you have the student was happy with her test score. The two negatives cancel each other out, leaving a positive statement. However, not unhappy is not the same as happy. The student may not have received an excellent score, but she didn't receive a bad one either. The student is not happy, but not unhappy either. So this sentence expresses a subtly different perspective and attitude than the simple positive statement, the student was happy. You can practice this construction by adding the prefix dis or un to many words. Not disloyal, not dishonest, not uncommon, not uncomfortable, not unkind. Before you know it, it will not be unusual for you to use negative expressions. In part 3 of the IELTS speaking test, you'll be discussing something linked to the topic you spoke about earlier in the interview. Let's focus on the features of a good response to part 3. You'll be expected to use more complex language because of the diverse tasks. You could be describing something, speculating, suggesting, stating an opinion, comparing, contrasting, or explaining. Let's imagine Mark Douglas is participating in the third part of the interview. Earlier, we heard Mark talking about glassblowing as an art form. As a follow-on question from part 2, the examiner could ask, for example, "Do you think some countries value glass art differently?" Let's listen to how Mark answers this question.
I think Australians' perception of glass is a lot different than European or American. Like, Europeans, because they've had, you know, Venetian glass around for a long time, they tend to appreciate how hard it is to make glass or the value of it. Australian people tend to look at whether it's mass-produced and then sit it next to a piece of art glass and can't really see the difference in it that much.
Okay.
It's not as if it's sort of money of it. It's just, I think it's just a psyche of collecting, which I don't think Australian people have that passion as much as European or American people.
In response to this type of question, you'd be expected to state your opinion about people's perception and appreciation of glass art. Did you notice the words he uses when giving his opinion? He says, "I think Australians' perception of glass is a lot different." "I think it's just a psyche of collecting." "I don't think Australian people have that passion." "Europeans tend to appreciate how hard it is." "Australians tend to look at whether it's mass-produced." It's clear from his word choices that he is expressing his own views. You would also be expected to make comparisons, like Mark does when he says, "Australians' perceptions are a lot different than Europeans." It's important to vary your sentence structure. Mark uses a variety of sentence structures that are grammatically correct. He makes complex sentences, sentences that have more than one clause. He uses the subordinate conjunction, because. "I think Australians' perception of glass is a lot different than European, because they've had Venetian glass around for a long time." He also uses the coordinate conjunction, or. They tend to appreciate how hard it is to make glass, or the value of it. Mark's speech flows smoothly because he uses contractions. He says, "They've had Venetian glass." "It's mass-produced." "Can't really see the difference." And, "It's just a psyche of collecting." How would you assess Mark's response to the question? I think his answer was relevant and effective. He demonstrated good grammatical range and accuracy. He spoke at a good pace and he used clear pronunciation. These are all goals you should aim for too. To find more information and tips for your IELTS test, just visit our website at abcasiapacific.com/study-english. That's all for today. I'll see you next time on Study English. Bye-bye.